It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny V.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 146, coming to you like the joy of finding a 50-euro note in your arse pocket after you thought you spent it all on a good night out. On this week's podcast, would we be Florence Nightingale or Nurse Ratched? We ask what it takes to pursue a career in nursing.
He's not afraid to heckle people giving wedding speeches and will do things like shouting at the groom to tell the story of the one he was tipping after the county final. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Her most feminine quality is that she knows exactly how to manipulate and control men.
Oh, really?
She'd be man fucking y'all. Producer Maura is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as Cork people being obsessed with Tanora, we are off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
If you're a new listener to the podcast, go back and listen from the very start. There's 145 episodes to catch up on. You'll have loads of time to get through it now in the end of this lockdown. So check that out. Now, before commencing with proceedings though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Alex has a story about coming home. A few years ago, I landed back in my hometown in the west of Ireland after playing an old rugby match. The bus trip home was good old session, and I was fairly tanked when I met up with herself and her friend who was visiting, and the usual suspects, so we went out drinking. At some point, I realised how full of drink I was. I decided to head home to her house, which is about 2 miles of a walk. Obviously, I did the Irish exit and slipped out the back door without saying a word to anyone.
The old Houdini trick, lad.
You love it. I got back to her house and realised I'd no key to get in and my phone was dead. After a while of knocking, it was obvious her weird housemate wasn't home. So I waited a while for them to get home. It was starting to get bright around 4 or 5 in the morning when I realised, 1, they were gone to a party with the rest of the gang, and 2, an upstairs window was open. I went on a reconnaissance mission to locate a ladder. I located one in a garden a few doors up. With the borrowed ladder, I bailed it back to the garden, placed it gently against the open window and legged it up the ladder, jumped in the window and landed onto the housemate's gas heater. The fucking yokes with the gas cylinder. He was a mean hooer and wouldn't go splits on oil. Oh, what a prick.
Nish.
Down the stairs, out the front door as quietly as possible. Not very quiet. After a heap of creamy pints to drop the ladder back. I was as happy as a pig in shit to get into the bed. I woke up about an hour later to the girlfriend and her mate walking up the stairs, effing and blinding about me and how much of a prick I was for disappearing. They got some land when I shot up out of the bed. The friend was still disgusted as she had to sleep on the couch. Things worked out well in the end. We have a 2-year-old boy now. Was the friend going to sleep in the bed if he wasn't there?
Listen.
Is that Amara? Is that what women get up to on sleepovers?
Yeah, girls would share beds, yeah.
Lads definitely be like, hey,
put a pillow down the middle of that bed.
You sleep on the floor. I'll take the bed.
I've slept in bed with lads before, but it's funny, like, if your legs touch your aunt, it's like, sorry lad.
Start giving each other dead arms. Yeah. Do you ever get locked out after a night out?
Me, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one night I think I fell asleep outside the house.
Where?
Just had the energy to get in.
Out the road?
Yeah, out the road.
Yeah, wait, you hadn't the energy to get in. It's different to being locked out now.
Yeah, that was they were in my heavy days. Days of youth.
I came home from the pub one night and I started banging on the wrong door.
Oh, Joss.
When I lived in Dunshaughlin, yeah. And then it was like this old pair were living there and their grandkids were over visiting. They were like teenagers. And one of them came out to me, thought I was trying to break in. And he got a curtain pole down off the window and came out and was like, what do you want? He was going bit me with the curtain pole. I was like, oh shit, sorry, wrong house, bye.
What an odd instrument to pick to give a baiting.
I know, curtain pole.
It's too long, you won't be able to swing it. Now, the game of odds, Owen was in touch. I remember playing it one day with my mate Dots when he said, odds of you running across the courtyard and back topless. I said 40-1. So as you do in the odds game, you both say a random number at the same time between 1 and 40. I said 23, he said 723. So as you can imagine, I was like, nah, this ain't happening, bruv. You clearly changed your answer. As we argued back and forth, the bell rang. Break was over and it was time to go back to class. But this was far more important. So we continued arguing until our other mate Fitz passed, and Dot said, "Fitz, Sully lost odds and now he won't take his top off." Without even responding, Fitz instinctively, and I still to this day wonder how, grabbed my top, jumper and shirt and pulled them both off in one swift movement. Impressive, yes, but I didn't appreciate that at the time. So to set the scene, a bitterly cold winter's day, a courtyard almost the length of the building in which everyone had to pass through to get to any classroom. And there I was, semi-naked, running like a madman as the entire school made their way to class. It gets worse. When I returned from my run, Fitz threw my jumper and shirt back at me in a pure tangled ball with sleeves going everywhere and half of the buttons gone off my shirt. And in an absolute panic, I couldn't untangle it. Class had begun at this stage and our teacher was wondering where we were. Came over to outside our social area to find me topless, struggling to dress myself. He looked at me in pure dismay and was like, "What are you doing?" Not knowing what else to say, I just said, "Sorry, sir. I was trying to take my jumper off and I ripped my shirt and now I'm trying to fix it." I could see the utter confusion in his face. It was almost as if he was realising in his head that I must have been in some way special. And being the terribly sound fucker that he is, he didn't question me and just pointed to an empty classroom nearby and said, "Well, go in there, you'll freeze to death out here." Looking back on it now, I was obviously quite unlucky to find myself in this situation, but also incredibly lucky that the soundest teacher in the school was somehow the only teacher that spotted me.
That's some luck.
Jesus. What's he doing? Put your jumper on, man. It's not that hard.
But now I know what the game of odds is.
Yes, thankfully, that explains it. It's not that much crack, to be honest. Right, let's do it now, so.
Odds on... you saying poo into the mic.
Right, okay, 1 to 15.
Okay, right, so we're going to say like 3, 2, 1
yeah,
number, is
okay,
it?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, 7. See? Say it.
Poo. Oh gotcha. My God.
Gotcha, Smacks.
Can we just say that? That wasn't fucking rehearsed. Neil is dead. Neil has just died over there in the chair.
The man's dead. He's taking a fit.
Oh my God. You have been living in my mind rent free, yeah, man.
I know you.
How did you know I was going to say 7?
You like the number 7.
Yeah, but 9 is my favourite number.
I know 9 is your favourite number, but 7 is your second favourite number.
Well, I can't believe that just happened.
Pranks. Dara emailed.
Jeez, I'm shook. I'm going to have to take a sip of water.
Dara emailed saying, "'Twas last summer when myself and a few of the boys were down in West Cork for a few nights. The weather was supposed to be fine all week, so we decided we'd camp for the crack. The tent was meant for 4 people, but of course we stuffed in 8 lads. The story occurs on the last night when we're all settling down to go to sleep and whatnot. 'Twas about midnight at this stage. One of my friends, we'll call him John, goes to take a pee away from the tent. I don't know how it came into my head, but I thought of a brilliant idea to prank him and get everyone else in on it. I whip out my phone and call one of my other friends over to help me. I says to him, "Walk over there and sprint towards me, will ya?" While I recorded it on my phone. Then I recorded the sound of walking on leaves and branches breaking, etc. If I didn't get already, I was going to trick him into thinking there was someone outside our tent in the middle of the night. I connect my phone to the speaker and hide it outside the tent in a bush. A few minutes later, we're all settled down in the tent chatting. When I play the first sound quietly enough, I play it again and again, getting louder each time until he hears it and says, "Lads, what was that?" With my Oscar-worthy acting, I said, "It's probably nothing." I had already prepped everyone about the prank and had a few plans ready. I then play a sound that sounds like someone just sprinting up outside the tent. At this stage, we're all pretending to be scared shitless. John is now convinced there is someone outside. I then have a strategic idea and say, "Lads, next time we hear something, two of yous lads, run out with the axe." Cue the sound of the lads. Cue the sound and the two lads come out. They run out and come back screaming, exclaim they had seen a humanoid figure running away from them. At this point, John is so scared, he has his phone on emergency mode, ready to call 999. Cleverly, I say, "John, put away the phone, because it'll run out of battery." Of course, the dope says, "Yeah, yeah, good idea, boy," and puts it away. He then asks two of the big lads to go with him and returns with a shovel, an axe and 2 golf clubs.
What are the buttons?
At this stage, I don't even know how I'm holding in the laughter at the thought of this fool. I continue to play sounds for a while, and each time he'd scream or say, "Lads, the fuck, someone's going to kill us." At about 4 a.m, I decided that he'd had enough trauma. I said to everyone, "Right, boys, next time we hear something, we're going to run out and fight this fucker together." I like to think I must have inspired a sense of unity as John ate up more of my bullshit. I play a sound and we all charge out. We're all standing there silently panting. I play Sean Kingston's "Beautiful Girls" on the speaker.
An odd song to choose.
And as I sing along, I say, "It's just a prank, bro," and burst out laughing. The best part is, after I said that, he turns to me in dead seriousness and says, "This is no time for pranks." I cannot believe we got him, and to this day still make fun of him for his gullibility and naivety. He admits it was a fantastic prank and even jokes about it himself.
Now we're on to nicknames. Robbie,
that's a good prank.
That is a good prank. That, a lot of effort as well. I like that. On nicknames, Robbie said, "Lads, on the topic of nicknames you had the other week, when I worked in the UK with London Irish Rugby Club, there were 42 players in the professional squad, but the best nickname belonged to Scottish international hooker Robbie Russell. Robbie was known to have the biggest weapon of mass destruction between his legs, so was known as Robbie the Love Muscle Russell. When I moved on to Gloucester Rugby, there was a player called Billy 12 Trees playing in the centre, and his nickname was 36. Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
I like that. That is very clever. And for those of you who don't get that, unlucky.
I'll leave that with you.
Let that one sit with you. Let it stew.
Graham was in touch to say, "Back years ago when we were doing a bit of hurling as chaps, there was a fellow who played for the local hurling team who was always referred to by the name Peggy. Much to my bewilderment anyway, I went fishing to whether it was his real name or not. It turns out his second name was Mitchell, and as he wasn't hard enough to be nicknamed Phil or Grant from EastEnders."
Oh, yes.
They went with Peggy instead.
Oh, fantastic. And I love that. On Irish pubs, Connor said, "Johnny B and Maura, you might remember a pub in Navan called Clem's."
Maura, do you remember Clem's in Navan?
No, before my time, I think.
Okay. "A real owl lads pub in the middle of town. This isn't one story, just a few things about it. It's about the size of a sitting room and you have to go through the bar to go out the back door, which looks like a door you'd see in a nuclear bomb shelter. The men's urinal is just a gully in the ground that goes down the drain."
Nice. Oh,
pub in Rosscrea used to have one then. "There's no women's jacks. Women have to go into the old house above the pub to use the toilet. For years, a friend of mine used to send his missus across the road to another pub if she wanted to go to the toilet. It's a massive GA pub with old photos of meat teams all over the walls. Our lads would have full-on debates on GA issues, recent and ancient. If a debate can't be resolved, the book is called for. The book is a book with every single fact and figure of the GAA, match results, etc., from the foundation of the GAA. Unfortunately, the book only goes up to 1999. But in fairness, most of the stuff they argue about is long before that. There was a discussion one day about soccer that ended with one random old lad not in the conversation shouting in a thick, husky voice, 'What a load of bollocks!' Obviously not a fan of soccer by the sounds of things. And lastly, it would be the only pub open in Navan after 8 on Christmas Eve. So it would be fairly wedged as most of the pubs in town would be closed before 8. Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that. That's not the case at home anyway.
Pubs are definitely open until midnight around here.
Yeah, half 11 anyway, I think. Half 11, I think, is pretty much closing time on New Year's Eve. Or Christmas Eve, sorry.
Sorry, pubs here close at half 11.
You've let the cat out of the bag, John boy.
Complaining... in hospitality. Linda said, "The mystery topic was making complaints in restaurants, etc., and a memory of New Year's Eve a few years ago came to mind. My boyfriend, myself and a few friends decided last minute to head to Killarney for New Year's Eve. Everywhere was booked out, so we got a room in a B&B. Well, not everywhere was booked out. Our first time staying in one, which was still outrageously priced, but we said it would have to do. We arrive, got shown to our room, quickly got ready and left for town. The night was grand, the usual New Year's Eve out really. We were all fairly on it, but made it back to the B&B in one piece. Me and my boyfriend passed out more or less straight away when we landed back. All was grand until I woke up at some queer hour of the morning and started nudging my boyfriend to wake the F up. We had woken up to see a man, butt naked, lying across on top of our bed where we were sleeping. We just looked at each other and then at the man and then to his big schlong out front and center.
Ow.
We were a bit stunned and kind of just sat there confused to what we should do. Only then we noticed the lady who was carrying a bit of timber passed out under the window, who was also stark naked, with what looked like a curtain wrapped around her, looking like she had a mad one the night before. After a moment of, what in the name of God is going on? The boyfriend poked the lad awake. He too was
with what?
He too was confused as to where he woke. He woke your one up and they impressively quick bolted for the door, apologizing as they went. We were a bit shook, but we were still half pissed, so actually fell just back asleep. A few hours later, we got up and had a real what was that kind of moment. After a quick debrief, we came to the conclusion that we must have only closed the door and not turned the key to lock it. Our guess is the couple came in during the night that passed out. We hope that's what happened anyway.
Mm.
We were that drunk, but not that drunk. We aren't swingers, by the way. When we were checking out, the owner asked how was our stay. We both looked at each other as if to say, are we going to tell her? Or because all we wanted at that moment was a Lucozade and a hot chicken roll to scoff down, as we had to wait until one of us was sober enough to drive home. We explained to her that what had happened, but I don't think she actually apologized. She more or so started on a rant about the naked couple, as apparently they had made a lot of disruption on coming back to the B&B and had woken up a load of the guests.
Yeah, by shagging in all their rooms.
Running and shouting around the house. So either we were out cold in bed or hadn't come home yet. We'll never know. I don't know, had we not just been visual enough with her about what had actually woken up to, or did she just feel the fault was on us for not locking the door? She would have a point there, but she didn't really seem bothered about our complaint at all. I've passed that B&B a few times since and we can't help but laugh, because if I didn't, I'd probably cry.
Where's that in Killarney?
Yeah. What do you do if you wake up and there's a naked couple in your room? One of them's on your bed.
Hello.
What's your name?
I'm Paul.
Room for one more. That is weird, isn't it?
That is strange, yeah.
I would hate to think that there was somebody at it in front of me and I was asleep. Like,
yeah, no, room. I'd hate to be asleep.
I can't believe this was on and I missed it. Yeah. Did anyone tape it?
Oh, that's a whole, that's voyeurism, is it? Hashtag save our chicken rolls, yeah, from naked couples to something wholesome.
Yeah.
Stephen was in touch. You need to be made aware of the chicken fillet rolls that are being slapped out in despair on the Pierce Road in Sligo Town.
Oh, tell on.
Now, this ain't no miserable stingy Cavan roll. That would probably cost an arm and a leg. And Stephen says here, apologies, Cavan people. I'm from Donegal and I'm still a little bit bitter after the Ulster final. Anyway, a large roll, breaded chicken fillet, coleslaw, lettuce and cheese. An astounding $3.99. Big respect to Spar making chicken filler rolls the way they're supposed to be. That's what Stephen says, not us. We've written to Spar looking for, can they make all chicken rolls €4?
Standardise it.
Standardise payments on chicken. And if we get that, we can stand down this campaign.
One listener said, with regards to your chicken roll campaign, I have a shop that needs to be named and shamed.
Come on.
Spar in Maynooth. I got charged €5.70 for a roll with cheese, lettuce and taco sauce. I got a monster as well and the total price came to €7.20. I think personally this is
outrageous
and needs to be heard.
See, it's two steps forward, four back there with, God, you know.
Damn it.
See, the fella saying Spar are great in the first one and the second one, then, you know, standardise it, Spar.
How is there such price disparity?
I don't know. We need
it's sickening.
We need a big crescendo to this chicken filler roll campaign. We need to take it.
We need good bread. We need Irish chicken. And we need a reasonable price.
For a reasonable price. That's all we're asking for.
So for all mankind and womankind.
If a company want to come on board, we'll work with you, right?
Yes. Now, Maura, who do you like for the Two Johnnies mug?
Which is sponsored by KC Sports to sell a lovely Two Johnnies merchandise. See kcsports.ie. Terms and conditions apply. We have new merch out.
I like the prank story, the effort that went into it, and also they seem to have continued the prank for around 3 hours. So that's effort. You know, that deserves a mug.
Yeah, that is true. I also like Billy 12 Trees.
That lad was playing rugby for Gloucester, was he?
I don't know. He worked there. He worked there, he said. Graham, I like Graham as well, who the Peggy Mitchell nickname.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I really enjoyed. Now, listen, I'm EastEnder bias here.
Yeah, no. Mind your soaps now. Come on. Lads camping and pretending they're about to be murdered. That's what this podcast is all about.
Okay, so Bear Grylls, you've won this week's mug. Contact podcast at twojohnnies.ie and Maura got all her details. We'll try and get the mug out to you as quick as we can. Now, the weekly roundup.
What's been going on this week? Yeah, Smack's dropped it, lads. We've new merch out.
There is new merch out. There is a Two Johnnies Christmas jumper that's now available.
Yeah,
it's true. Was going to wear it, but it's quite warm. And this studio is really hot today. So instead, what I'm sporting right now, actually, is the new Two Johnnies quarter zip. People have looked for it, and we have answered. Mm. So it's got the Two Johnnies crest on it, the whole lot. And
we're like our own GA club.
Yeah, basically. So come and join the club. There's a quarter zip.
There's a full retro zip.
Full retro zip. That looks like something Diego Maradona, God rest him, would have wore back in the day. That's cool. There's the Two Johnnies Christmas jumper.
And there is a new Noel's News mug.
Yeah, and there's also a few woolly hats and
get them while they're the room temperature. Okay?
Yes, it's all there. Now, we've got a little bit of an announcement that we'd like to make. So
yeah, still don't want about it, but like...
We've been staying pretty much quiet about it for the last while because we've had to.
It's been an undercover ops.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, SAS shit, man. Climbing through, you know, going on boats and all sorts of stuff. But we can exclusively reveal the Two Johnnies have gotten a Christmas special on RTE.
Television.
Yes! Boom! There it is.
There it is.
And do you know what? We've went to RTE1. I don't know if it's moving up or what it is, but seemingly people tell us it's a good thing.
Apparently it's a good thing.
So the Two Johnnies Christmas Spectacular is what the show is called.
I think, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's
going to be. Class. It's going to be on over Christmas.
We reckon it's the best thing we've ever done. And we'll
by a mile.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have more details on that on Wednesday. So on the Thursday pod, I'm sure we'll go into detail about it. But it is unbelievable and we're buzzing. We can't wait to bring it to you. It's going to cheer you up this Christmas, this festive period. Also, thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra Pod. That's every Thursday on Patreon. You can sign up for €6 a month. You get 10% off merch. You also get double the dose of Johnny's. You get a brand new podcast every Thursday popping into you. And on this week's podcast, Maura got more than she bargained for when she asked me what was the most annoying thing about her.
It's not too annoying, I don't think.
We're killing time now, come on.
Come on now, I am annoying, I admit that myself, you know.
For a second I thought you were trolling Maura there by saying because Maura said herself sometimes she says too
yeah
much.
Okay, I'll go with that, thanks Johnny.
What do you find most annoying about me? Like, Smacks is a bad bastard.
We've talked about whether we have what it takes to join the Gardaí or the Army, but now are talking about some real hard bastards. Nurses. What does it involve? How much do you get paid? And is it a good career? And would we make it as nurses?
Well, Johnny, the points for nurses in 2019...
Rules us out.
rules both us out. It is this, from 388.
Yeah, that 8 points short.
And all you're missing is, you know, commitment to your job, compassion, empathy with other people, long hours. So there is a online questionnaire you can do created by the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Ireland.
Fantastic name, isn't it? Midwifery.
Midwifery. Oh, yeah. What are you doing? Midwifery.
Midwifery.
There's 45 statements and you have to like agree, disagree, strongly disagree. And I'm not going to lie. The first one that caught my eye, statement. I don't mind cleaning up people's vomit and diarrhea. You lost me there, nurse. Straight away, I'm not going to lie. You lost me at vomit and diarrhea.
I was doing it and I was like, I don't even clean up my own vomit. I don't know if I've said it before on this podcast. Sorry enough for going there. But
yes,
I
you
just,
have
I? Yeah, okay.
You cover it with a t-shirt.
Yeah, so if I get sick, I'll take off a night of clothing I have on and I'll just cover it like a bad dog. Or a cat that's done a shit where you don't want to do it. You got to cover that stuff up. So, yeah. So poor Annie learned that the hard way. She walked into the bathroom and was like, oh, his t-shirt. Oh, it's under his t-shirt. And then it was like, yeah.
You're an animal.
I am an animal. But like, you know.
Oh,
In my defence.
I'm going to justify it now.
In my defence, like, you know, would you rather walk on a t-shirt or vomit?
Just clean it up.
Yeah. Lad.
Not when you're scuttered.
Yeah, exactly. When you have the spinnies, you're not going to be like, oh, lovely, go down and clean that up there. You don't know where you are. I was mashed potatoes, man.
Well, don't do nursing while you're mashed potatoes, because the second one that caught my eye was, I am not willing to compromise my social life. Agree, disagree.
Yeah, strongly disagree, strongly agree. I'm not willing to compromise. Nurses, like, Chris, they've got to work Christmas Day, you know, bad night shifts, weekends.
Weird stuff. And another one here, 13-hour shifts.
Yes, there's no crack in that.
That's tough going.
That is tough going.
You'd want to love it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that is a bit of a vocation, as they say, isn't it, though? Like,
it definitely is.
I know it's a good job, like, and it's, you know,
you could definitely get a handier job.
Yeah,
though.
It's a HSE job, and you get your pension and stuff like that. But like, Jesus, like, they're not fantastically paid well, or it's. I have to say, massive credit to nurses. And I'll just say one thing for anybody in college: stay away from the nurses. They're fucking crazy, man. When I was in college, like in WIT, the nurses, like, obviously there was a nursing course in WIT. They were the craziest. And then they're like, they're getting up the next morning, like, after 3 minutes sleep, and they're like, I've got a lab. And I'm like, well, let's just, or they'd be on teaching, or they'd be on, like, you
placement.
Know, placement. And they'd be like, out in the nightclub at 4 o'clock, and be like, I'm in at 7.
How are they doing that?
I don't know, but I say if they're testing their own blood pressure the next day, they'd have some unbelievable results.
Oh, there's all different areas now. Like, I think I'd find it hard working with kids.
You coach the under-10s.
No, I like kids, but like, no one is dying at under-10 training, like, you know, bar a little bit of my soul. It will be
I can get tasty down there, lad.
I can get spicy down there. But I mean, it must be very hard if you're in, like, you know, looking after, like, sick children and all. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, 6 o'clock. Yes, let's all go for dinner and drinks. And you're probably, like, definitely a bit stressed out, or you're definitely taking home with you a small bit.
Yeah, 100%. You probably do get attached. When we done the ward walk, where you go and, like, just say hello to kids who are in hospital, I was in bits after that.
Mm.
And, like, I suppose after a while as a nurse, you probably do get desensitized to it, but it can't be easy. Like, you know, you would build a connection if you're an outgoing person with people. Like, after 5 minutes of being in a room with someone, I was like, oh, I sort of came out there with a lump in my throat. I was like, I'm, that's why when we fundraise now, we always do it for kids stuff. But that's a tough station, particularly on the nurses.
You'd want to be full of the crack as well, like.
Yeah, you want, like, some nurses are great, like, they're come in and they have that manner. You know, people will often say, great bedside manner. Is bedside manner a real thing? I suppose it is,
yeah.
You gotta be doing some bad stuff, like.
Do you know who has bedside manner? Midwiferies. I don't know how anyone would be a midwife, right? There's women screaming all day.
Yeah.
What did you do today? It was just people screaming.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I can imagine, like I know when I stress out women, you know, to get very upset. But imagine me stressing them out on top of actually having to push a baby out of them. Oh, God.
How do women give birth, lad?
Lad, I watched that, what's that kids program, Mara? They're having babies. One born every minute.
Right.
Jeez,
that's
sorry.
Not a kids program. It's a program for adults.
It's a program for adults, but there's kids in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, granted, most of them are coming out of vaginas, you know, but they're in it. Jesus, I watched that. I was like, whoa. But the mad thing is, like, do you know if you hold a baby?
And I cried.
Yeah.
You know, if you hold a little baby, right, and you're, like, real gentle with it, like, and delicate. You want to see the midwife swim by. Child comes out, it's like, wham. Like, you know, they're so used to it that, like, they just know how to pick it up real quick and, you know, wash and whatever they have to do with it. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. I was like, oh, look at the baby. Like, they're grabbing it. Like, it's like I'd pull a fucking chicken fillet out of the counter when I used to be a butcher. Like,
yeah.
They'd be like, I'm going to dust and fire it back down, whatever to do with it. Like, you know, I was like, oh.
Do they still slap it in the arse to make it cry and get it going? It's like jump-starting an engine.
I didn't see that on that now. Sometimes they might have phlegm, like, you know, and they might have to do something. Yeah, give me a... No, I don't know if this is slapping the arse. That's a bit Angela's Ashes, lad. So you're back in time there.
But do you know, lads out there, the next time that, you know, a woman says to you, lads, oh my God, it's so big, lads, just remember, she's put, you know, women push babies out. She's bullshitting you.
Just on this nurse's, the questionnaire that we took, we will, of course, reveal our answers. But another one that I seen on it was like, I don't like old people. And it was like, agree, you know, disagree, strongly disagree, whatever.
What did you say?
I said, like, I do like old people. Like, I love old people.
Right, okay.
I watched 24 Hours in A&E last week.
Oh, no.
No, that was it. Tears were out, lad. Sobby sob. I was hegging. I was, you know, the proper messy crying. When it's like, there's tears and a mixture of tears and snots at the same time. Old people make me so sad.
When they're stressed and sick.
Yeah, when they're sick. Like, so I won't.
Not just in general.
So basically, what we've discovered is I can't do newborns, I can't do children, and I can't do old people. And to be honest, I don't think I could look after people my own age either. So that pretty much rules me out in nursing.
Do you know they call it care of the aged now? They don't call it geriatric nursing anymore.
Okay. I always thought geriatric was a bit like, I don't know, I've heard people saying he's some geriatric at that. You know, it
sounds like the name of some soccer player or something. Geriatric. Geriatric. It was no lad, I was scoring goals. Geriatric. But I was talking to people who worked in care of the aged, and they said that you would need patience and you really need a great bedside manner, because all people, when they come into hospital, can be a bit confused, or they might get worried because it's a very strange environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they have a touch of starting to lose the memory or something. You really need to be cool with them. But all people can be very interesting too.
Ah, yeah.
You know, for chats.
Yeah, yeah.
They have some stories. All people have stories.
Yeah, they do.
Like, men weren't allowed into the room when people were being born until like 30 years ago. So,
yeah, probably by choice too. Because that being the snapper, where, like, you know, your mom's having the baby, and Colomini is obviously like her father, but like he's down the pub. And he's, you know, the scene where he's like 8 pounds, 12 ounces. And then the fellow side was like, is it a turkey or a baby?
Yeah. Maura, how did you get on with your 45 statements of would you be a nurse?
The questionnaire said that the response was, your answers to this questionnaire suggest that the match between your preferences and requirements for studying for a degree in nursing or midwifery is not very good. There is little evidence from your answers to suggest that the demands of this role would suit you. So it's just like, I kind of knew that. I kind of would, like, I'm very good, I'm not very good at showing sympathy to a person. Like, if a person's down, I'd rather make them laugh than be like, oh, poor you. So, like, if somebody came in to me, like, sick and was like, I'd be like, actually, you're not that bad, you know?
So, I've just had a stroke.
Stroke of luck?
I did the quiz, and it says your answers to the questionnaire suggest that there may be some fit between your skills and what is required to study for a degree in nursing midwifery. However, the match may not be a strong one at this time. This may be due in part to you having some gaps in your knowledge of what this role involves.
Said the exact same to me.
Yeah, there you go. Snap pie. So you're reading minds anyway. So yeah.
I was all ticking the answers for, yes, I would like to make a difference to people's lives. But then when it was like, would you like to clean up someone's shit? Strongly disagree.
So, I was just thinking that as well. It was like, I was like, I'd like to make a difference.
I care.
But I don't want to give I don't want to give my Saturday nights up.
I care about people 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. How do people be working late nights and stuff?
Yeah.
But you know,
they're heroes. They are heroes.
Like, sure, I was asking someone who was a nurse, and I was like, how would you be cleaning up poop and all that? And they're like, but don't really see it like that. When somebody vomits, it's not like they've had a load of pints. It's like, it's part of their care, and you will know why they're vomiting. So to you, it's almost interesting, like, oh, that treatment didn't work, or whatever, they threw up.
Yeah.
Do you get me? They're looking at it from a whole different perspective.
I know. Sure, you just have to ask anything.
Oh, yeah? Your missus is a healthcare professional?
Mm. And they just come home and look after another fella.
I asked my mum, like, who was a...
Yeah, she was a nurse.
She was a nurse, and said, like, it'd be tough and all, but it was very fulfilling. But the one thing, I asked her, what was the hardest thing about it? And she said that sometimes you wouldn't have enough staff, and you'd be so busy that you'd like to give more time to everyone.
But you can't.
But you can't. That must be hard.
Yeah, it's tough, and they all, you know, the nurses always seem to be under pressure. As long as I've, you know, been of an age where I've realised, you know, the crack, like with nurses and stuff, it always seems to be.
Sorry, when you talk about the crack with nurses on this podcast, that's normally something else.
No, I don't mean like, you know, in nightclubs around Ireland. I mean like, you know, the crack of, they're always short staffed, they're always underpaid, they're always under pressure. It's a tough station. Just to move away from the questionnaire, something that is a hot topic at the moment is the whole student nurses thing.
Yes, cash money.
So the student nurses don't get paid, but still have to work.
Yeah, so like they're supposed to be learning.
They ain't going
to
fly with me, man.
But the thing is, they're not really, they're not just shadowing someone.
Yeah, they're proper, like, they're working, basically. Like,
hands on.
Yeah. It's not like they're just observing stuff. Like if
shadowing someone.
Yeah, like. Yeah. It's some dose. Like, if you're a cop, they're not going to say to you, like, right, I want you to move to Sligo, right? No, but you're still on practice. Move up to Sligo and do your 40 hours a week and live where you like. I don't care. We're not paying you. It just won't work.
No.
So for nurses, it's like, if you're from, say, Care, and you've done nursing in Waterford, you might have to go to Waterford and, you know, be a student nurse and not get paid.
It's mad, isn't it?
Who's paying the rent?
Just to be really clear about it, okay, right? So in first to third year, you do clinical practice payments, and most of them are unpaid, but some do get a weekly allowance of around €50. And then those in their final year get an internship, which is paid, but it's at a very low rate. It's lower than healthcare assistants and fully qualified nurses. So that's just what the situation is.
Okay. But in the first lockdown, Maura, did nurses get a few bob? Student nurses.
I think they all got paid healthcare assistant level wages.
Okay. So they got something in you.
Yeah.
Like in an apprenticeship, you start on lower wages because you don't have the big responsibility.
I understand that.
But you are hands on. There's no apprentice twiddling his thumbs. You could be an apprentice carpenter and give the first year, you know, sweeping floors or something, but you're doing something.
Yeah, it's a really tough job. I don't think I have the compassion for it. And I don't think I'd have the cojones either if you were to go and tell breaks bad news to someone. I can't tell anybody bad news. Like if I have to tell like someone something simple, I'll always give them like four positives and then just drop a clanger in the middle of it that I'll skirt over. So it's like, you know,
you're looking well.
Yeah. I think you're a super person. You're sacked. And also, did you see the new...
You're here on time. You're looking great.
Yeah.
Test results were terrible. We'll get back to that. But like, you know...
Liverpool won last night.
Yeah, you know, it's not all bad. It's like, Dr. Smacks, you were a terrible doctor.
Yeah.
Male nurses.
Yes. 91% of the workforce, according to... 2017, I'm going to pull up the stats now because I want a quote because I don't want someone, you know, being like, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, we don't know what we're talking about. But in 2016, there were 3,377 male nurses and 37,700 female nurses in the health service, which equals 91.8% of the nurses' workforce was female.
Good course to be doing, lads.
Yeah, it's like me and home ec, lad.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, but like years ago, it probably wouldn't have been seen as the most masculine.
Yeah, it's probably fair to say that, years ago, yeah.
But now it's very equal career, like I don't...
Yeah, sure, it's vitally important to have men and women, like, you know.
Nursing is physical enough, like.
There is a lot of lifting, yeah.
Horsing lads around the place.
That is
true. Picking people up, putting people down, washing them.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
But Jesus. It is funny because I've often... Oh, this is going to sound fair weird.
Well, I've often got someone to pick
me up. No, do you know, Annie would be doing like courses where like they might have to go on like...
Manual handling,
yeah,
but like...
But for humans. Yeah. Like you're lifting, you're not lifting a box, you're lifting a human. And then I'd be like, if this house burnt down, you'd never get me out. And then often for the crack, I'd play dead and she'd try and lift me out of the house. That's going to sound fair stupid, but like... Do you know, I'd go limp and then she'd like... Fuck, she'd be under some pressure. She'd be under some pressure.
What?
Did she get you in the house?
Back or what?
No, she's not fucking Brock Lesnar, lad. Jesus Christ. No, she, whatever technique, there's a certain way to spin you and kind of shimmy you. I don't know. Listen, I put it this way. If the house went up in flames, I'd be hoping I'd be able to get out myself, like. But if not, she'd be calling in help, I'd say.
What, she should drag you along the ground or what?
I think so, yeah. Probably.
Well, you were there. What do you mean?
Like once it was like she was getting me out of bed and I was going dead. Like, so there's like, yeah, you turn them a certain way and then,
oh,
you kind of...
Oh, this Monday morning for work, like.
It was a Sunday. She was like, I got you a breakfast roll. I'm like, I can't go to bed. And then she's like, just help me up. No, I'm joking.
Use their training on you.
Yeah, no, but there is a certain way you kind of shimmy them out of bed and you grab them a certain way that you don't hurt them as well, I guess. You know, it's all...
Because a lot of nurses have foot problems. Back injuries be very common. Spend a lot of time on your feet and you have to lift patients all the time.
Yeah, seeing that on the survey I took, it was like, would you have a problem spending 13 hours standing? I was like, well, my knee, yeah. Never going to work. That's why nurses wear echoes. A good strong shoe is very important when you're a nurse. Yeah.
Okay, let's do the pros and cons.
Okay, give them to me.
Pros, helping others. Does nothing for us, lad. No, that's a big thing, isn't it? Imagine seeing someone leave hospital all healthy and all.
After you've looked after them. Yeah, there must be a certain sense of achievement, I suppose, you know, in knowing you're doing something good. Yeah, God, I'm kind of feeling empty about myself.
Yeah, all we do is,
plus we're making people laugh, are we? Yeah. Technically, Jesus.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Number two, you'll always be in high demand. Ireland is nearly always looking for nurses.
Yeah,
because we keep scaring them away with bad working conditions.
Yeah. It's like, oh, come home and work, and everyone in Australia is going, we will. Yeah, go away over there. I'm having a right time over here.
In Australia, the average salary for a nurse is 73,000 Aussie dollars, which is about 45 grand. Whereas in Ireland, you are newly qualified nurse is starting on 30 grand.
Okay.
Cost of living in Aussie is a little bit dearer.
Yeah, it's higher, yeah.
Still. Okay, more pros. Reasonably good salary, I guess.
Mm.
Diverse opportunities. You could go down
travel.
A different road.
Yeah.
Yeah. The working hours. There's options to do things like you could do 3 12-hour shifts and then have 4 days off.
Yeah. That does appeal to me. I tried that when I was like winding down in Super Value and going full time at the Two Johnnies. I was like, I'll still work the same hours, but let me work them in 3 days. Yeah. Didn't work. But I tried it. But it's nice. I like that idea of working real hard for 3 days to have 4 off.
Yeah.
You know, that would appeal to me more than like five shifts like of lower hours.
But then the days you're working, like who's doing the kids or whatever, you know?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I wasn't thinking that far down the line at that time. I was just trying to have enough money for lunch on a Tuesday.
Or some people do like 7 nights in a row and then get 7 days off, like.
Yeah.
The following week.
That's tough now. That's a long stretch though.
Anybody who works nights must be some dose.
Yeah. It wrecks your schedule.
Wreck you.
Yeah, your sleep schedule. Number 6 on this list is it's a trusted profession. Like, as in people would trust you. Also, just on that, like, if you're going for a loan or something,
yeah,
you're going to give a nurse a loan, aren't you?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, you know, they're trustworthy. Like, if you're in the local credit union now and you're the boss man and someone comes in and says, I'm looking for a loan, like, I run a snooker hall. You know, you'd be like, don't know about that. Like, you know, how in demand are snooker halls at the moment? And then if someone comes in and is like, I'm a nurse, bang, how much do you want?
I hope so. I
hope that's the case. It is in my credit union.
And
the credit union of life.
The last on this list is a simple work wardrobe.
I don't think anyone's choosing to be a nurse because it's got a simple work wardrobe.
The outfit can be nice.
Yeah, I like the nurses who sometimes, it's mostly in paediatrics, where they wear like real colourful...
Scrubs.
Scrubs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's class. Yeah, if I was in that, I'd have to have the maddest pair of scrubs.
You'd be
on.
Like Ace Ventura. Scrubs. Yeah. You want some cons?
Yeah, go on, give us the cons.
Yeah, physical demands, been absolutely bet up. Long hours. Exposure to viruses. Not one I saw coming. Mm-hmm. Well, this year maybe.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
Stress and the pressure, emotional burnout. Do you know what I mean?
It must be tough.
Dealing with people like who are sick and maybe dying or something, or like, yeah, awful, like sad cases, you know?
But it must be tough if you're after doing a 12-hour shift and a patient you've been looking after died.
Oh,
be coming home like,
oh, come on.
There's no way you'd be closing the door, like, you know, clocking out and being like, Hey! Party time! It's the weekend. Mara, Jimmy, and Shammy all died in sight. They're all dead.
Sure, there were no relation.
Yeah, we'll have a right time. Get the drinks in.
You probably get a bit of abuse off people if you're waiting ages, even though it's not your fault.
That is the one thing I'm glad we touched on there. Nurses, like, have you ever been, like, A&E?
Late at night.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Late those, at night. Those nurses get some abuse. And it's not their fault.
No.
I was in there while I got a slap one night and I was in there in A&E getting my head checked. They found no brain, safe enough. And that, like, load of drunk people in there abusing them. And especially if, like, I remember one time going for to get a cast on my arm. And, like, the nurses would be there and they'd be calling whoever's next. And there was a massive queue. And my mother, she'll kill me now. You know the way they have, like, a big stack of files?
Right.
And, like, for some reason, like, we were there ages now. And other people came and got seen before us. And, you know, mother's like, what's going on here? You know, so she asked the nurse, like, oh, we'll get you when we can. Mother was like, yeah, fair enough. Mother got my file and moved it. top. We were next in by out the gap. I got the cast cut off my arm. Mother was like, don't tell anyone. I was
some
like,
fella beside you bleeding out.
No, it was like we were all in there. It was like a fracture clinic.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, you know, we're not that bad. There wasn't somebody dying and my mother stood on him.
We're losing him. Not my John.
Jonathan has to get the cast cut off his arm.
Better flatline behind you. Not my boy. He won't flatline in front of my boy.
My mother doesn't talk like that.
I'm sorry, that was too far, Trish.
She'll be on to you, lad. She will be on to you.
I don't know, Maura. Like, do you think nursing is a good career?
Well, my experience, I was around this time last year. I was in hospital with a really bad kidney infection, and the poor nurse who was looking after me, she took such good care of me, but like. You're as a nurse, you're dealing with someone at the point where they've no, you know, dignity is not afforded to them. So like she had to give me a jug and she like to measure how much pee I was producing.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, she's like, I'll leave it in the bathroom for you. I was like, grad. And then I went into the bathroom and like she left it in the bathroom with a big like A4 page tucked into it with more written on top of it. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, because it was like, you know, there was other people on the ward using it. And I was just like, there is no dignity to this. But she was really good as well because the pain medication wasn't working. Like, they'd given me like Tramadol, something else. And like there was nothing working. So like she was with Paige and like the student doctor to come up and, you know, give me something proper. Like, and she was fairly irate by the student nurse or the student doctor because she took her sweet arse time getting up to see me. So like nurses, you're absolute heroes. But like,
yeah,
I know I can't be Superman because I can't fly. So I look at nurses like that. I'm just like, I couldn't do what you do, you know. So
We just want to take this opportunity from the Two Johnnies podcast to salute the nurses. I know it's been a very hard time, two lockdowns, coronavirus, the whole lot, and you've been trooping on. And anybody,
the junior doctors as well, who got mentioned there,
junior
doctors, they work horrendous. They can be in all night on call and then start the next morning.
Yeah. Junior doctors, nurses, all the healthcare professionals, frontline workers, we salute you.
I know a woman who's looking after old people. And she said there's one old man who every time she has to come over and like wash him, whatever, he keeps whispering at her, you dirty fucking bitch.
You joking?
I'm not joking, yeah. And she's like, stop it now. And he's like, you dirty fucking tramp. She's like, no, honest to God now, stop it now, stop it now. You dirty fucking... He keeps whispering at her like that.
When I'm old, I want to be like that. No, look, to all you healthcare professionals out there, and particularly the nurses, we student nurses should be paid and looked after. That's why they're all leaving the country. Do you know what I mean? That's why Ireland produced the best nurses, they reckon.
Yeah.
So
now I don't know how we're going to afford it.
Yeah,
the money has to come out of somewhere.
It won't be us.
Won't be me.
But look, we salute you all, the front line. Fair play to you. Okay, Santa brought him a pack of fags when he was 3 and he was happy. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
And long for that.
Well, Noel.
Tip won the football.
They did indeed. What a day.
Delighted.
Yeah, thrilled.
19 years I played senior football.
Did and you?
Yeah.
For Tip?
For the club.
Oh, yes.
And I never caught a ball. Every time the ball came near me, I drew a boot in it.
What if it was over your head?
When I straight boot up the field. Yeah, if it was high one now, I could fist it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a kick out.
Yeah.
I'd fist a kick out.
Good man.
I could fist the ball 40 yards.
Go away.
Yeah, people do nothing like it. People would come from all around see me fisting.
Jesus, no.
Sometimes they catch it, but I'd never catch it, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, I'd catch it and I'd kick it.
Yeah. But you wouldn't really catch it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be catching it, but like, I kick it both feet.
Yeah?
Yeah, sometimes at the same time. Up in there.
That's an odd technique.
Bang. Level off. Let there be no feet in the ground.
How does your balance?
I fucking lift it off. Two more hand passing now. Fucking leave it off.
You're after breaking up the desk.
Now, would you like to hear my plan? To mind the desk. My plan for the COVID restrictions.
Yes, please.
Step one, reopen the pub. Go to the pub and think about step two. This approach has a proven track record of yielding tremendous results.
Really?
Oh, I get a lot of good ideas in the pub. Okay. One time I rang the school and told them there was a bomb. So Padre could get the day off. Okay? Yeah. He wanted to paint the house. Well, it's not so much the Padre that wanted to paint the house, but Cameron wanted the house painted and I was in the pub. So, they got, you know, get Padre to do it. Oh, he's in school. Is he fit? So I closed the school. I'd ring the principal, John Walsh.
Yeah.
There's a bomb in the school. Noel, we know it's you. No, you don't. I do it every year.
Do you?
Yeah, I know. He knows it's me, like, but he still has to close the school. Like, what if I did plant a bomb and he didn't close the school?
Yeah.
Who would look the fool then?
Still you. He would.
He would, yeah.
Yeah.
And for the plowing, I could ring and say, oh, he's sick. And this will happen every year, like. So you have to have something sick, different every year. I might say, oh, he have gout, you know. And they'd say, well, you know, gout isn't contagious, no. And I'd say, well, it depends on what you're doing. He'd learn more about in the ploughing than he would in the classroom anyway.
Do you reckon? Like,
at the ploughing, he'd be learning how to haggle over the price of a second-hand wheelbarrow. Isn't that more use now than Oxbow Lakes? Oh, I'm broken down at the side of the road. I hope I don't turn into a V-shaped valley. Huh? Now, you want a bit of news?
Yes.
Bit of news. A US tourist, right? Now, we love their Yankee dollar. Come and visit when the COVID is over. Look at our green fields. Buy an overpriced scone in Killarney. And marvel at the magic of our small roads. One car each way. Oh, scary. Huh? So this American tourist has returned a piece of stone that she stole from the Roman Forum. The Roman Forum is not a website where fellas talk about walking, roaming around. It is in the ancient ruins in the Italian city of Rome.
Okay.
And what did she steal? A sun hat? No. Some pasta? No. A stone. She posted a piece of marble back to the National Roman Museum with a letter saying, please forgive me. And what was carved into the stone? To Sam, love Jess, Rome, 2017. She gave it as a present.
Oh my God.
Well, it's a cheap shagging present. Stone she got off the ground. Hello, wife dear. I got you a stone. Its grey, hard exterior reminds me of you.
Oh.
So, but you can't put it back. It has the writing on it.
Yeah.
What if people think it's fake?
That's true.
Like Blarney Castle in Cork.
Why is that fake?
Yes. Were you ever there?
No.
Exactly.
Are you saying the whole thing's fake?
What, have you ever been there?
No, I haven't, but...
Exactly. Have you ever seen it in the flesh?
No.
How do you know it's real?
That's true.
Very good.
I'm questioning a lot of things, though.
Now, Cork is full of it.
You're really having to go with Cork lately.
They have a monkey maze, right?
What's that?
A monkey maze. Exactly. I went. No monkeys. I nearly pulled the head off your man. So this happened to me again in Dublin. I went with the daughter and said, oh, to get the grandkids and we go to the monkey bars. But I thought it was some sort of tropical pub. I said, look, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning, but if we're going at it, we're going at it. Like, oh. So I'll get me second pair of underpants and get ready for the pints.
No monkeys.
Fucking playground. I was distraught. But this is one of the reasons that Douglas is leaving Cork.
Douglas?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. They call it Dougsit. Their shopping centre is reopening and they will be gone. There was talk of them joining Kerry, but there was too much of a language barrier. As they always say in Cork, Cork people are Kerry people with shoes. So will Douglas join the EU? We can only wait and see. But the moral of the story is, don't be stealing from ancient monuments.
That's a good life lesson.
We should remember that.
Nice link.
Yes. So we wait to see an update on Dougsit.
Okay, brilliant. Okay.
And also this week, I want to say RIP to the great Maradona.
Yeah.
The Argentinian Pat Fox. I never got a chance to play against him.
What a legend.
But I would have had a fair cut.
Would you?
Yes.
Do you reckon you'd have taken him?
Depends on the day, the referee, and the sport. Obviously, I never played soccer, so. Yeah.
Would you, with your luck, you could kick him with both feet.
He couldn't do that, could he?
No.
Now and all his talk. He never caught the ball either.
No, she fisted.
Yeah.
Hey, before you go, do you want to introduce your jingle that's why our sauce are sponsoring your segment now?
I don't want to introduce it because I haven't got fucking paid.
I told you watch the post.
But I was listening last week. I thought it was wire sauce. I thought you were greasing up wires or something. That's another electrical company.
No, why are? Listen, how about we do
that? Like your man in Dallas.
Who?
I shot YR.
No, that's JR.
He probably didn't get paid either.
Hey, tell you what, we give you a crate of YR sauce as payment.
And cash.
Okay, we'll talk about the cash, right? Don't say cash on the podcast.
I'll take the wires. No, is it Dwyer's sauce?
No. It's not Dwyer's. YR sauce.
I'm going away now before I get a fit.
Here's the jingle. Thanks so much to YR sauce good for luck. Sponsoring this Noel's new segment. Here's our favourite jingle of all time. Hey girl, I don't usually open my heart like this, but I just gotta let you know.
The first time I saw you, you were sitting in a diner. You looked so good, laid out on the counter.
I'd seen you around, I'd seen you on TV, and I never knew you could be so good to me. Why our sauce, put it in a salad. Why our sauce,
I'm gonna put you in a ballad. It's got tomatoes and spices, onions and dates.
Put it on your mat and she'll taste great.
Stir fries, cottage pies,
vegan tortillas, toast and cheese. Why our sauce,
it's class.
Why our sauce,
thanks for sponsoring the podcast. Did you know that it's Irish like a stone wall?
You can use it as a garnish or on your meatballs.
Why our sauce?
Now you're talking. Now that she's in her 30s, she's starting to feel really uncomfortable about fancying hot young GA players. Martha, what is your mystery topic?
Right, I'm going to chat to you about an Instagram model. Her name is Paige Woolen, okay, right? She's based in California and she's a bit fond of sharing snaps of her in her underwear to Instagram. And she has, as well as having her own Instagram account, she's another one called @dudesinthedm, which is... she basically shares the kind of like funny, creepy messages she gets from guys sliding into her DM. So a typical message is, roses are red, violets are blue, I'll be your six, will you be my nine? So
smooth.
It's very funny. Wow. But then she decided...
Did it work?
Yeah, I don't think so, no, because this woman's quite clever. So she said that she noticed that a lot of the guys sliding into her DMs on their profile pictures were images of what she thought were girlfriends. So she decided to post on @dudesinthedm saying, do you want to know if anyone wants to know if their boyfriend is faithful, I will DM them from my main account. So she will slide into their DM saying, hey, I noticed your profile, I thought you were cute. And actually, she got a really interesting response. She said, surprisingly, the girls who asked her to contact their boyfriend, most of them either didn't answer, or if they did, they said something mean or informed me they had a girlfriend. So I think a lot of the guys were thought she was trying to get them to sign up to an OnlyFans account or something like that. But I thought it was a good little experiment. But I'm wondering, there were guys who were gullible and were like, yeah, like, no, I don't have a girlfriend, or, oh no, I do have a girlfriend, but she's into some freaky shit. Do you want to talk more? So I'm wondering, if a girl was to slide into your DMs, what do you think, or like Irish men generally, do you think that Irish men would twig that they're being set up here? And do you think it's ethical for a girlfriend to, you know, I suppose, how would you say it? Ensnare or try and trap their boyfriend like this into like sliding into DMs? I don't think is that bad. Like, it's only a bit of banter. You know, like, guys slide into my DMs all the time and I'm like, have a laugh at it, like, you know. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think if a woman does this, she's looking for a row.
Ooh.
There's no winner either. Like, if he says, no, I have a girlfriend, and then finds out, he'll be like...
Oh, he'd be pissed off, yeah.
Do you not trust me?
Mm.
And then if he does message this, was she like a hot, famous person back, his missus will be like going mad at him. But will she be thick enough at him to break up with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
She should get an ordinary person to DM him. Like, I mean... If this lad is some lad, like, you know, some American lad in Texas who, like, you know, has never been outside Texas or something or somewhere like that and has never seen a hot model, he's hardly going to think, oh my God, this girl fancies me.
Mm.
You know, most of the time you get like bot messages on Instagram.
Yeah.
From like bots, you know, and it'll be like, I like you. Give me $50 and, you know, you can shave me legs. I don't know. You know, weird shit. But it's blatantly obvious that it's a bot, like, you know. But I think, I don't know, there's something sinister to that now. I don't like that whole... That
okay, because I was going to suggest that I do this, that if any girl out there is worried about her boyfriend being unfaithful, that, like...
Well, 100% I agree for the, you know, for the podcast. Listen, if it had to be done, you know, as part of this podcast. So are you saying, Maura, that you're willing to play detective here?
Maura, this is a honeypot.
Oh, yeah.
Is the
honey trap.
Yeah. Honey trap.
Yeah.
Honey pot is another way of saying it.
Yeah. No, you're already thinking of Winnie the Pooh, lad.
Honey pot?
No, honey trap.
Whatever. It's semantics.
Tomato, tomato.
I think Irish people are naturally cynical and would straight away be like, what's going on here?
She's looking for something. Yeah.
But also, yeah, men are dopes. And if you tell a lad he's good looking, he's like, Jesus, I still have it. What? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, now that you've said it on here, Maura, are men, you know, any fella who listens to the podcast and gets a message off you during the week is going to tweak it. So let's make sure you're, you know, if a girl's going doing this with you, Maura, let's make sure that her fella doesn't listen to the podcast.
Or he hasn't caught up yet anyway.
Yeah, take his phone off, or you can't do that, but yeah, like hide his earphones so he can't listen to the podcast or something. So, but at the same time, I don't think it's really the right way to find out if your boyfriend's unfaithful. Like, I think the way to find out if he's going to be unfaithful is get him really, really drunk on a night out and then get some young one when he's like completely like out of it. And if she tries to, if he avoids trying to shift her, then he'll be faithful. I don't think guys would be this stupid to get caught like that. So I don't know. But yeah.
I never thought I'd have to issue a disclaimer, Maura, on our behalf when you talked.
This is backwards.
Why?
You're saying get your boyfriend paralytic drunk and then get a hot young one to come on to him.
Maura, that's like getting a match and holding it close to a firelighter and being surprised when the firelighter catches fucking fire.
When your house burns down.
Yeah, probably true, yeah. I think, like in my experience, that's the only time that, you know, a cheating would happen by, like, it's just one of those unfortunate things that, like, there have been...
Ah, yeah. Drink those terrible things. Gives them, you know, the horn.
So, I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know. It's a very dodgy experiment. And I think, you know, but I will do it for the crack.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes you don't want
to. But we'll see.
So, Maura, are you willing to honey trap people?
Yes.
We will check back in on this. You a bad bitch, Maura.
Stone cold.
Oh shit. We'll check back on this Omar next week. Then I want to know how your experiment goes. A social experiment on the two Johnnies.
I'm sure.
I know, Omar. You've shocked me.
Yeah.
Don't you dare come sliding into my DMs now during the week.
I was thinking about it. I was like, have I ever slid into your DMs? But the only thing that I'd send G is like. The only thing I send you, Smacks, is videos of people being attacked by birds. So,
yes. Yes.
I only really kind of troll you. I don't really like,
Thanks. Thanks, Maura.
Maura's going to message you now going, hey, Smacks, just noticed your profile. Yeah. You're cute.
Hey, Smacks, I think you're cute. I'll probably be like, yes, thanks, girl.
Jesus, Maura's just got the wondering eye.
Okay, I look forward to next week and checking in on that. Thanks, Maura.
Thanks, Maura.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the number two to get in touch. You can email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie and you get us on Instagram as well @thetwojohnnies and suggest any future topics you want to hear us tackle and just send us in your correspondence. Anything you got to say, we want to hear it. Now we're going to round off the podcast as usual with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
Johnny B, first up, what have you got?
Yurts, tip footballers winning the Munster.
Unbelievable scenes.
85 years, haven't won it since Bulmers opened up in Clonmel.
Coincidence?
Maybe. Delicious? Definitely. Great win for the boys.
Yeah, brilliant. A lot of people. Football is a small enough minority.
Yeah, there's some people in Tip who are like absolutely hardcore football. I wouldn't be like that now. I've gone to see them plenty of times. I support them, and you kind of there's a good few lads from around here.
Yeah,
not necessarily our town, but like around the south, we'd have played against them.
Yeah,
you'd have played against half that team, anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, if not fucking nearly all of them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
At some point,
I elbowed a couple of them, and
yeah, I don't think I've ever had a proper falling with any of them. Actually, come to think of it,
a couple of them. Yeah. Anyway, but, good lads all around.
Yeah, but I know, delighted for them. Like, look, it's like Anton. It's all the hard work and training that they put in. It's great to see. Like, you know, they train just as hard as the hurlers, if not harder. So,
and I'm glad that they won it in style.
Yeah,
they were very good on the day. Conditions were good.
Played proper football.
Played good football
as it should be played. Credit them. Tip football. Fair play to them.
Yeah, Cork. Fairness, something wrong in the forwards there.
Yeah, very disappointing. We go in depth on that on the
GA breakfast.
Big GA breakfast with Boyle Sports, if you want to check that out. That's on our socials every Saturday and Sunday. Another yurt. My back was at me, right?
Right.
So we've done a bit of filming for the Christmas special, like I mentioned earlier on, and we've done a bit on the boat.
Yes, a speedboat.
Yeah, which hurt because the waves are it's really choppy in the sea. And my neck and my back were sore after it. You know, I've got a dodgy back now as well as everything else. I'm getting old. I got cupping done.
Yes.
You familiar with that?
I am, but to explain it to our listeners.
So it's basically like they put like a cup, a bit kind of
suction cup.
Yeah, a suction cup on your back and then suck up your skin kind of, and it like sucks it up. And I got 12 of them put in my back, and like obviously you're left with massive bruises after it.
Your back looks like a dice.
Yeah, it does. But I feel great.
Really?
Yeah. So cupping, the way forward by Chinese ritual, they reckon. So like there's some yokes to think up of stuff.
Aren't they?
Yeah, it's mad. It's a mad sensation getting it done, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling loose. I'm feeling loose, man. I don't have a dirt this week.
Okay.
So if I can just throw another yurt in.
Yeah.
If that's all right. Listen, we make up the rules. During the week, I watched Finding Jack Charlton.
Oh, yeah.
New film.
Documentary.
Documentary, yeah. It's a docu-film, whatever. And it is unbelievable. It charts his life. It's kind of a bit of his playing career. And then obviously he takes over Ireland and it goes through all those years, his relationship with his brother. And there's a lot of talking heads, other people talking about it during the documentary. And then it deals with the fact that Jack obviously had dementia in the end.
Very sad.
And it showed him. And as much as it was like so many funny bits, because he was real funny.
Yeah.
And cool to see all the old footage and footage that you haven't seen before. Because I've watched Jack Charlton documentaries before and I was skeptical watching this, you know, thinking I won't see anything here that I haven't already seen. Because obviously us Irish people love Euro 88, you know, Italia 90 and yeah. World Cup 94. But it was grand. It was deadly behind the scenes footage and it was really well done and sad at the same time.
So where is that available?
It's on digital download now, so
just Google it.
Google it. It's on Google Play and you can buy it on Apple TV or whatever. You can just buy it online. You can rent it. It's like $4.99 for 2 nights. Old school renting. So I watched that and by the end of it, I was in tears, but the soundtrack is really good as well.
Cool. Okay. I just want to, my dirt of the week is, again, people on the internet going too hard on people. Mm-hmm. We had a friend of ours, friend of the podcast, Roz Purcell, released her clothing line this week and she had some issues with it and she went online and apologised, but we all make mistakes. Yep. And I'm always in favour of DMing. DMs are good. Yeah, DM someone saying, hey, I'm not happy what you're doing there, or, you know, I'm insulted by that.
Or ask why.
Ask what the crack is. Let's get a discussion going. You don't have to try and put the boot into people. She's sound.
Yeah, she's sound.
Hey, she appeared in one of her videos for free.
Yeah, that's sound.
And last week, my word of the week was Laney. And I had people from up around Roscommon, the Cavan area, saying that they call it a laner.
Wow.
Don't you be going around like a laner, hanging around the back lanes. And my strange make yuppie word of the week this week is knobshawling.
Well, it's good to know that you've just said makey uppie.
Yeah.
Yep. Very prevalent with that
Maura,
word.
Maura, did you ever hear that word?
No.
No, nor me, lad.
It's like whinging, giving out.
Okay.
Say it again.
Knobshawling.
That's not even a good word because it's hard to say.
That is.
It's not. It's awkward.
That is.
Good words are like stuff you can shorten or it's faster to say.
Sulok won't be bet.
Yeah, Sulok's not bad. That's an easy word to say. Like knobshawling.
Yeah.
Knobshawling. Say it.
Yeah, either or.
Oh my God, you've made that up on the spot. 100%. Sorry, Maura, I missed a bit from your mystery topic when you were talking about chat up lines at the very start. A female friend of ours during the week showed me a message she got on Tinder that said, can I use your legs as earmuffs?
Was that the opener?
Yep. That was the first message straight off the bat. Can I use your legs as earmuffs? I just thought, what a nice way to finish the podcast.
We hope everybody out there finds someone that you love and use their legs for earmuffs this week.
Christmas is coming. It's getting cold. From me, Johnny Smacks.
Put on them ankle muffs. From me, Johnny B.
For me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Go on. Good luck.